Wow.
Good enough for me. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, she wasn't irresponsible. She just had something happen. That's the kind of things I'm looking for. And you think about it, if there's not people like me out there willing to own or finance houses, then what happens to middle America and lower America? Because they're not going to fit in the 680 credit score and meet all the criteria of the institutional loans, FHA and VA. And
we want to get, I guess we will get into it later. Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank.
Ah.
Well, you know, once I got nose to nose with Dodd-Frank, I figured it out. It's not that difficult. In my business, if you want to be an owner financier, this is how you handle Dodd-Frank. I'll make it really simple for you. You hire an RMLO, a residential mortgage loan originator. You agree with his fee or set a fee for every transaction. You get him to explain to you what you do to conform, and you do what he does. Period. Get on with buying houses and selling houses. Just get an RMLO, agree to the fee, and do what he says. And, you know, I'm not reading 2,300 pages of that.
Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Okay, Mitch, and I'm proud of you because you dodged it, but the Dodd-Franks, and I do a lot of business with the banks here in San Angelo. I mean, a lot of my good friends are bankers, and they do it, and it literally put a noose around their neck for a lot of it. You know, if they didn't, like you said, if this person didn't fit in that perfect little round hole that they did, you know, they couldn't do it. Well, a lot of us, I'm one of them. I don't fit in that little round hole. You know, I have different stuff. I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a good deal. So you figured out a way to do that because a lot of people won't fit in there.
Well, we have the right to either go get a license ourselves, an RMLO license, or we can hire someone who has an RMLO license to stand between us and our buyer for a period of time and take the 1003 app and all that stuff that we're not allowed to do. You know what aggravates me? I'm not allowed to take an application on a person on a house that I own that I'm trying to give the financing to. Are you kidding me? I mean, where are we going in the world? By the way, the SellerOwnerFinanceCoalition.org is about to get some of this stuff changed because the legislators are figuring out if private investors like you and me, Scott, don't own or finance people houses, then the inner city is going to die because who's going to buy these crack houses and these dilapidated houses that are under $50,000 that you pick up that need $30,000 in work? Banks don't want to loan on houses that are too small, like. Most of them I hear don't want to loan anything under $50,000. A lot of them won't loan anything under $80,000. Who's going to buy these inner city houses that are falling apart? And then it becomes like a blight because if you can't fix these five, then it becomes 10 on each side because who wants to live next to a bunch of crackheads or, you know, with all this bad stuff going on in these houses? And so then it starts to spread. And they're figuring out that without private investors like us, then lower and middle income won't be able to afford a house or won't be able to own a house. I mean, or those neighborhoods are just going to rot.
Well, and like you said, this is a niche market. This is for certain people that need certain things. And you're right. What happens when one goes bad, the one next to it goes bad, the one next to it, or one goes good? The same thing happens. Like you said, you get somebody that has the pride of ownership now. They go in and start fixing that house up. Well, the next door neighbor says, you know what? I want to fix my house up too. You know, this looks good. And it changes the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, well, the legislators are starting to figure out. You know, I bought a house that was halfway burnt down for $12,000, and no one was cleaning it up, and it's just sitting there, you know, scarring up the neighborhood. And so I went in and I fixed it up. So it was assessed at $12,000. The tax assessment for the county, for the schools, was at $12,000. I went in and fixed it up. I bought it and fixed it up, and the owner finances someone for $70,000. Now it's on the tax rolls for $70,000. This is one house. How much extra money per month does the government get because I took a house that was rated at $12,000 and I brought it up to a $70,000 level? I mean, and I'm just one guy, and I've done it 1,300 times in my town. I wonder what the tax income I have affected. I wonder how much extra tax income I have made on just my 13 houses. And there's a lot of guys in my town that owner finance houses. You know, San Antonio's 1.7 million people. I'm not the only guy that owner finances houses.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Mitch, you've heard me say this several times, and I still, San Antonio's my favorite big city. And I tell you, what's San Angelo? I said, it's like a little mini San Antonio. We live the north side of San Antonio, the people were the same. They're friendly, nice. You know, you have your own little thing. Mm-hmm. So I think San Angelo's a perfect place for this to exist.
It is. It is. Because what I look for when I'm trying to own or finance a house with someone is I'm looking for someone who has an insatiable need to get up in the morning and go to work, just like you and me, who is going to take care of his family and take care of his responsibilities, just like you and me. I'm looking for someone who wants to be their own person, does not have a entitlement attitude, and I'm looking for someone who wants to better themselves. And I can recognize those people in pretty short order through the apps and through the conversations that we have with them. You know, I always like to ask my prospective buyers about six or seven questions that have nothing to do with what they're trying to buy. You know, I ask about their kids. I ask and to get them to talk. And when people start talking about their lives, then I can start to assess, this is a person who's going to do well by this house. They're going to make their payments, and this is going to go fine. And then I make my decision.
Well, I mean, I think one of the smartest businessmen in San Angelo made a comment to me one time, and he actually helped me get where my first office was and everything else and developed Knickerbocker. And he said, the character of a person says a lot whether they're going to take care of their business or not.
Oh, absolutely. And if someone sets an appointment and then doesn't make the appointment and doesn't call you to tell you that they're having a problem, that they're not going to make it, I mean, right off the bat, they're out, because that's the way they treat me in everyday life is how they're going to pay. And so I watch their actions. Sometimes I even give out assignments. Hey, I need you to get me this by Tuesday. If they don't get it to me by Tuesday, that's how they're going to get their payments to me, like whenever they want.
Makes sense, though. So and generally what you're saying, a lot of the people that you're talking to, though, probably do not have perfect credit.
Oh, they don't have. I don't want someone with perfect credit. I want someone who needs me and is going to make payments for a long time. And that's who I'm looking for. People that are not going to go out and refi. They probably never will.
Because they're going to refi to get a lower interest rate.
Yeah, and then they'll pay me off and I'll have to go find another house.
Darn the luck. So you've got your setup. You go through, you find the different houses through whatever sources you have, and you go through them. I got to tell a story. I've used you probably, I'm going to say 1,000 times. And I'll tell you what I do is I go in a house and I'm going to list a house, and it stinks to high heaven. Whether it's
I already know where this is going
from pets. Yeah, it's your line. I ripped it off and duplicated it. I said let me just tell you something. I said, y'all may not know it or not, because you know I have a dog too. Or whether it's smoke or whatever, I don't smoke, but if you do, and it's offensive to people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, one of my best friends from school does a lot of houses. When he walks into a house that has a strong odor, he just, and everybody else is walking out going, oh my God, let's get out of here. He just takes a big old breath and goes, smells like money to me.
Yep. I bought it. The last house I bought, if it had one pile of dog poop on the floor, I bet you it had 100. And I walked in and everyone put their collar of their shirt over their nose and left. And I stood on the coffee table and just sucked it in. And I said, man, no one's going to want this house but me. And I'm going to be able to get this house at a great bargain. I tell a story about some of those houses. I wrote a book called My Life in 1,000 Houses, 200 plus ways to find bargain properties. And one of the telltale signs of a good deal coming down the pike for you is houses that don't smell good, because that's the smell of money.
And see, I said to folks, if your house doesn't smell good, it's not a problem, except you're just going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah, you got to sell it for a different price.
So it's real simple. The smell good, the fix up. So from an investor point, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
If it's a perfect house in perfect shape, probably not your house.
Probably not. But although all the houses I buy, I break it into two categories. I buy houses that have problems, or I buy from people who have problems that can be solved with real estate sale. So I'm looking for two problem areas. People that have immediate needs that are running out of time for some reason, and they're lucky that they found me because I can buy with cash really fast.
Well, how do they find you?
Well, after 20 years, they find me in all different ways, but
well, from the people listening to this show right now, what do they do?
Oh, well, I mean, if you guys want to know more about me, I think that's what he's asking. If you want to know more about me and my organization and where to get my books, or you can go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com. There you can click on the tabs that says Mitch's books, or you can look at the educational opportunities. My blog is fantastic. A person with drive and energy could just read my blog and all the free stuff at that site and create a career. You wouldn't need me. You wouldn't need anyone. My philosophy is I'm going to give you everything I know. If you think you can do it on your own, go ahead. And if you think you need some help, maybe we talk.
And what I think, too, and what you just said, and why a lot of people will not do this, there's a formula. In fact, one of our other best buddies that lives in San Angelo now has used that formula and has created a lot of wealth by buying a lot of houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes – and this isn't – you don't do it tomorrow. You do it over a time period.
But you want to get educated, and you want to get in the culture, you want to understand the system, and you want to understand the mindset of exactly why we do what we do, and how we you know, what kind of down payments we take, when do we take down payments, how do we look at down payments, you know, was it a down payment that the guy got from an inheritance, or was this a down payment it took him 20 years to save? This is two different kinds of down payments. One has a lot of heavy weight, and one's kind of frivolous, you know? So I've been doing it 20 years. I know a lot of minutiae about this business. I can smell things coming up in a conversation from a million miles away. I've just been doing it a long time. And it doesn't make me the smartest guy in the world. It just gives me a lot of life experience that I can draw from.
Folks, I hope you got some good information out of this. We appreciate you listening in. Stay tuned. We'll catch you next Sunday.